Fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a pre-Friday celebration, greatest day of the entire week, man, as we just continue to cruise right along through another one, getting ready for doomsday, the end of the world, with the solar eclipse on Monday. Apparently, we're going to see the return. We are going to see the end of times. We are going to see the end of the world all happening, apparently, on Monday when that solar eclipse hits us here in the nation. What is going on? I'm sitting in my chair, and as I'm sitting here, it's just randomly sinking on me. So we'll see how long it lasts before I end up standing throughout the entire program. So great to have you along. Great to have you. This is Andy Hoosier, the Voice of Reason, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV and live streaming and podcasting. However you watch or listen, we always love you to death. Your millennial general reporting for duty like we do every single day. Paul Dragoo, he'll be joining us. It's been a while since we've had him on the program. He is a writer and contributor to The New American. He's also host of The New American Daily podcast. So we'll chat with him about some Wisconsin elections. There's concern over potential voter election corruption from 2020, some of the voting laws that they're changing in this election coming up for 2024, what that looks like, and why the progressives are losing their mind. Which, speaking of, there's some interesting election news that I want to get to in just a moment. But before we do, there is some breaking news that is going on right now that may be of importance to some degree. I don't know if that's really that weird, but there is some big news. So let's get into what's trending, shall we?
What's trending today?
As Anthony Blinken has officially made an announcement by standing right next to the representative from the nation of Ukraine, is obviously that conflict still ongoing, and Congress still looking at finding a way to fund Ukraine right now in their ongoing battle against Russia. This announcement being made just hours ago.
We will do everything that we can. Allies will do everything that they can to ensure that Ukraine has what it needs to continue to deal with Russia's ongoing aggression against Ukraine, an aggression that gets worse with every passing day. Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership and to create a clear pathway for Ukraine moving forward.
Of course, we believe that Ukraine deserves to be a member of NATO, and that this should happen sooner rather than later.
Wow, there it is. That audio from Newsmax.com is Anthony Blinken and Ukraine now saying that they will officially become a member of NATO. Literally the thing that Russia said they didn't want to happen, which is why they've been trying to do this conflict, according to Vladimir Putin, saying that he wants this conflict to go because he did not want NATO at their doorstep. And that was the entire battle from the get-go, was that they did not want Ukraine to become a member of NATO, didn't want Finland to become a member of NATO, and Finland apparently now becoming a member of NATO, and now Ukraine also becoming a member of NATO, which means that that could potentially escalate this conflict with Russia, which means we'll have to be even more heavily involved with trying to supply them stuff, weapons, and money, and whatever else that they're asking for, with Volodymyr Zelensky begging for us each and every day for us to pass something new. And what does that mean for the United States and our involvement? Will that escalate our side of it? And could we see this become a bigger conflict now with Russia, or with Ukraine becoming that member of NATO? That is interesting news. And I always have to wonder, you have to sit back and just ponder this for just a moment, on how much influence that the United States has on some of these decisions. Because was this the end goal at the end of the day, was to bring Ukraine into this issue? I mean, Joe Biden, obviously his foreign policy is god-awful and terrible, but is he Barack Obama, through him, trying to pull the strings to make Ukraine a member of NATO? Because at the same time, apparently, according to Breitbart News, that Joe Biden has had a phone conference call with Benjamin Netanyahu out of Israel and advocating for an immediate ceasefire in that conflict, which, again, probably not going to fall on very good ears for Benjamin Netanyahu, who is adamant that he's going to eliminate his threat to his nation. So, well done. Well done, Biden administration and federal government. We continue to complicate things more on the global level with our foreign policy that is not doing anybody favors, and this one could only escalate things further in Ukraine and Russia. We'll have some more. There's not a whole lot of information on that other than they're getting ready for this big conference, and that's the announcement that was made by Blinken and the nation of Ukraine just hours ago. I want to bring back home to the home front here, though, and take a look at some of the latest current events.
What's trending today?
There is an interesting conversation to be had, but as you know on this program, we like to take things just a little bit deeper. We like to unveil those layers of the onion and converse about something that's slightly deeper than most other talk show hosts do. And that is, let's go up to the state of Nebraska, just north of me, a relatively small state when it comes to population size or electoral vote size or registered voter-wise compared to the rest of the nation, with 5 electoral college votes. Now, Nebraska is only one of, I want to say, 2 states in the nation that breaks up their electoral college votes based on districts in their state. So you don't, they have 5, by the way. So you don't get all 5 just by winning the popular vote in the state. Majoritively, there are 5 electoral college votes, one of them representing the Omaha, Nebraska area, which is the largest city in the state, with 1, and then the other 4 usually go Republican. The 1 electoral college vote from the Omaha area usually goes Democrat. So it's usually a 4-to-1 ratio of how elections turn out for the national stage and the electoral college. Well, there's a push right now, or at least there was a push because it kind of died off today, is apparently the lawmakers, according to thehill.com, Nebraska state lawmakers overwhelmingly rejected the, quote, winner-take-all electoral change that was being advocated for by former President Donald Trump, by current governor of Nebraska, Jim Pillen, and former governor and now current U.S. Senator Pete Ricketts for the state, that have all advocated for the changing of the process to go from the split vote to doing a one-size-fits-all and the popular vote going towards the whoever gets it ends up winning all of the 5 electoral college votes in the state of Nebraska. Now, you can talk about whether that's good, whether that's bad. Should we get in line and be a little bit more unison with the rest of the nation? Maybe. That's an argument to be heard for sure, as all the other states, except for, I want to say, Maine and Nebraska, are the only 2 that actually split theirs in the general election. Now, primaries are a little bit different, obviously, but the general election with the use of the Electoral College, I believe there are just those couple of states. Should we be more in line? That's an argument to be had. Obviously, the Democrats would get rid of the Electoral College in general and that they just want a national popular vote for the nation and say that the popular vote nationwide just trumps, so speaking, trumps the Electoral College and that we should just win based on a straight democratic process, a democracy, and that whoever has that popular vote wins, which obviously is a very stupid move to make because then we would have 5 cities across the entire nation that would choose the president every single time. But that's what they're advocating for. And there are a lot of states that have signed on to this national popular vote movement. But I want to take things just a little bit further, because there's a couple things to break down and analyze here, is there not? With how close this election is, the main focus now is everybody's eyes on Nebraska. 5 electoral college votes, and particularly 1 electoral college vote, which is in the district of the Omaha, Nebraska area that has roughly 500,000 population. Overall, 485,000, I think, is the latest census that we saw in 2022. Let's say 500,000 people, 500,000 people. 1 electoral college vote has the entire nation's attention. Republicans advocating for the unified vote of saying we need to just have Nebraska go all 5 towards the winner, which would predominantly and obviously be a Republican candidate, so more than likely Donald Trump. The Democrats want to keep it because they're holding out and saying, wait a second, this is our vote. This is our district. How dare you try to take it away from us? We need our representation in our area. Don't try to take this away. We want this vote to stay the way it is. In fact, the Democrat state legislators losing their minds in the state of Nebraska over this potential move. Now, this did not go anywhere, as there was an update as of yesterday evening where the Senate and the legislature, they don't have House and Senate, they're not big enough, so their legislative body ended up voting. They needed 23 in order for this to move forward, and only 8 individuals apparently supported this initiative. So it did not go anywhere. This is dead. However, There was a deeper conversation where apparently the state chair of the Republican Party for the state of Nebraska making a comment earlier today on the Charlie Kirk radio program, talking about them advocating for this for a while, it sounds like now.
I had a meeting with Ronna McDaniel and said, I think this, but I even went to the RNC last year, Charlie. I had a meeting with Ronna McDaniel and said, I think this is something that's going to happen. I think this is something that can happen, but I need outside help. And I was basically told that it wasn't much of an importance. And so when you start to look at how I was going to influence this, I continued to use the volume of people. And now with what happened over the last 24 hours and your efforts, and as you were talking with Steve Bannon today, that effort of activating the grassroots have multiplied this a millionfold. I could never have imagined this happening.
So this massive movement, by the way, that again was the state chair for the Nebraska Republican Party on Charlie Kirk's radio program, that movement that has blown up to national attention over the argument of one singular electoral college vote should really be a representation of how close this election is, how crazy this election could potentially get, and the lack of motivation that the Biden voters actually have. Because if they're looking at trying to keep and preserve one singular electoral college vote in flyover nation, then they have a serious problem. They're already writing off, it sounds like, some of these swing states that predominantly would usually go left, but Donald Trump's leading in the polls right now, and they're not expecting to gain back before November. This shows how wild this election is going to be. So keep that in mind. But let's go a step further. With this push for the national popular vote, the ridding of ourselves in electoral college, of wanting a straight quote-unquote democracy to be in action during a general election just to go by popular vote for the general in November, does this not reinforce the idea that we've had for on this program and solely on this program? I have still yet to hear a single talking head anywhere in the nation mention this idea of a statewide electoral college process. At the state level, for governor's races, attorney general's races, secretary of state's races, U.S. Senate races, where we don't base it solely on popular vote based on just the majority, but we do it so based on district, based on population areas, and do an electoral college process at a statewide level. Does this not reinforce that idea? And it's ironic to me that Democrats are advocating for the electoral college process in Nebraska to be staying the way it is, for them to hold on to their process to keep that one electoral college vote in Omaha, Nebraska area out of the five that are possible, for them to say, no, we have different values than what the rest of the state does. We have different ideas than what the rest of the state does in rural communities. And again, by rural communities, I mean Omaha, Nebraska is 500,000 population. There's a total of 1.96 million people in the entire state. Roughly 1.2 million registered voters in the entire state of Nebraska. So just by those numbers, let's say 2 million in population, 500,000 in Omaha, Nebraska alone, that's 25% of the entire state's population located in one singular region, and they want to keep that to where they have their representation and not be overridden by the rural communities elsewhere in the state. Does that not reinforce the idea and the entire concept that we should have a breaking up and a proper representation of rural communities outside of larger metropolitan areas in every state for every statewide election? Because right now, they're holding on to that process in Nebraska and walking away from their national popular vote that they want because they want to keep that one electoral college vote in Nebraska. Republicans, we just want it unified like what we're doing in every other state in the nation. And I can see that argument. Whether it's a good idea or not, it's up for debate. But Democrats, aren't they just a little bit hypocritical in this process?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Welcome back into the program. 24 minutes past the hour. Interesting conversation about electoral college votes, and I'm glad. I am glad, you know me. I'm the eternal optimist. I am so glad we're actually talking about the concept of the electoral college. We are not a democracy. We are not a simple majority rules all, which is what the Democrats want to be. And if that were the case, then Republicans would very easily win all five electoral college votes in the state of Nebraska, and that Democrats would have zero say for that 25% of the state's population that lives in the Omaha, Nebraska area, which, by the way, just for those not in the center of the country, to put this into perspective for you, that is by far the largest city in the entire state with near a half million people. There's roughly 2 million people in the state. So relatively small, 1.2 million registered voters right now. Omaha at roughly 485,000 people. The next closest city is Lincoln, Nebraska, at 287,000 people, and then Grand Island at 50,000 people. Outside of that, afterwards, it's like in the teens. That's how small the state is. And I'm not degrading it. I'm just like, that's the small population. It's mostly rural country. It's mostly farming and agricultural country, which is a beautiful place. I will say, and this is, again, not a knock on Nebraska. We have listeners up there. And being from Kansas myself, I get it. But I drove through Nebraska a few times. When I made the trek as a child, back and forth from when my family moved from Ohio to the state of Colorado, we drove through it. And I will never forget. And if someone remembers or knows of this place, I may have to go back to it for nostalgic purposes. We drove through the long stint of Nebraska, literally the long stretch going from Ohio to Colorado. And I'll never forget it. I was napping, trying to sleep through the majority of Nebraska. I woke up at some point and we were still in the middle of a cornfield. But I looked out and in the middle of the cornfield was a water slide and some type of random water park just right there in the middle of the corn. No town around. I didn't see any other houses. I didn't see any other town. It was just, there it is, water park. Boom, welcome to it. And it was just a ways off the road. So it was interesting. I'm still trying to understand where that was. And if you know that place, you can find me at Hoosier Media, or I'm sorry, HoosierReason.com, and send me a message and let me know. But that's Nebraska for you. And again, the largest populated city is roughly a quarter of the percent of the entire population in the state. And they're fighting to preserve their one electoral college vote in their district, which goes predominantly blue in just about all the presidential elections, because they don't want it to be absorbed by the Republicans that overall dominate the entire state. If that's the case, then why are they not open to having a fair type of discussion about a statewide electoral college, when you know any legislature in the country that is dominated by Democrats would just toss that into the bin in the corner of the office and say, thanks for your request. It's going in the request bin, and we'll continue to move on and go about our day with our other top priorities, because we don't want to lose the majority that we may have. I always go back to the state where I'm here from, in Kansas, where our governor ended up winning with seven counties. Seven. Out of the 200 counties that we have in the state, seven ended up winning because they were the more populated areas. And that is not a proper representation of what the people want. If we actually had a state electoral process, electoral college process, it would be dominated by Republicans. So, of course, Democrats aren't going to want it. But in this particular case, no, we need to preserve that district for the Democrats to still have that one holdout electoral college vote. And with how close this election is, they're scrambling for everything they can get. In fact, according to Newsweek.com right now, the political White House bureau chief, Jonathan Lemire, posted on the Tweety just yesterday saying, quote, if this bill becomes law, it's possibly a massive deal for November. He goes on to say, because it means that if Biden can't get one electoral college vote from the Omaha area and he loses all the swing states except for Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, he would only get 269 votes. His easiest path to 270 would be gone. They're anticipating the loss of these swing states. They're anticipating the vast majority of the states they won last time swinging back to the Trump race in 2024. And they're scrambling to desperately hang on to one vote in flyover nation that's trying to not allow Republicans to be absorbed into that. That should be argument number one for a statewide electoral college.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason meets radio, this is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Indeed it is. Welcome back into it. Reason, Common Sense, Rationale. By the way, if you did not get our newsletter that came out at the beginning of the month, that always comes out the first Monday of the month, if you did not get the newsletter, the hell's wrong with you, man? Sign up for the newsletter today. It's very easy, very free. It's free 90 free, so you don't have to worry about anything. Go to the website at HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason. You can sign up. You'll become the latest Hoosier-holic, in which case we appreciate you and love you to death. We had a mass jump, actually, here in the last couple weeks with people jumping on there and signing up to become a Hoosier-holic. You'll get our, we don't spam you. We don't send you a bunch of stuff. We send you two meals. We send you a welcome, and then we send you a once a month email at the beginning with our blog, with our latest content, what's going on with the show, our latest partners, our latest affiliates, all that good stuff. So go to HoosierReason.com, sign up, and become the latest Hoosier-holic. We appreciate you very much. Upgrade your life, my friends. Yeah. So, interesting conversation for sure about the Electoral College and Nebraska now wanting to preserve at least Democrats, and the fact that it got shot down in the vote last night in the legislative body with only 8 people really supporting this bill. Democrats wanting to preserve that one Electoral College vote in the Omaha, Nebraska area, not wanting to do what 48 other states are doing right now, which is really the winner takes all for the majority population. And the democracy apparently at work in their states by throwing their Electoral College votes behind that popular vote, which I find completely hypocritical and ironic of the fact that they're pushing for a national popular vote to get rid of Electoral Colleges altogether, saying that, well, the popular vote wins, so therefore we shouldn't have Electoral Colleges. How dare you? There's not a true representation of individuals. But yet in Nebraska, where they have 5 Electoral College votes, they want that one. No, we don't want to be absorbed by the rest of the predominantly Republican state that is 3/4 of the population in Nebraska. We don't want to be absorbed and be irrelevant. But yet that's what they want at the federal level, on a nationwide level, with the national popular vote. And they're the ones that are the first ones when on this program, again, I never heard anybody else talk about it, but advocating for a statewide Electoral College vote at each individual state to represent rural communities and the ever-growing, more populous areas to protect those voters that are out in communities that are smaller towns all over in small town USA. They don't want that. How dare you talk about something like that? But by golly, we want to keep that one Electoral College vote in Nebraska. To talk about some of that and the elections going forward in 2024 altogether, we'll get our latest in what's trending.
What's trending today?
We'll talk about Nebraska and up in Wisconsin with some voter issues going on up there as well, as he is the one of the senior editors for The New American, thenewamerican.com. Love having these guys on here. Also award-winning reporter and host of The New American Daily, writer as well with Defector, A True Story of Tyranny, Liberty, and Purpose. Excited to have back on the program. Been a while since we've had him on, Mr. Paul Dragoo. Paul, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Andy. I'm well. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back on.
Yeah. It's been a while, so really happy to have you back as well. Your thoughts, I know we want to talk about Wisconsin for a minute, but have you heard of a concept, or is this a possibility of advocating for statewide Electoral College processes at the statewide levels for governor's races, attorney general's races, secretary of state's races, U.S. Senate races, where we can actually start recognizing the fact that more populous cities essentially dominate much of the popular vote at a state, and we're so divided right now with how big these populations are that it's worth a consideration?
Well, yeah, I mean, I lived out in Montana some time ago, and I know that we had lots of people moving in from these leftist states that were run by like these little blue centers, and they weren't being represented. So it might be, you know, it might be something to consider, because it's not, certainly not fair to people in the other states. And the thing about it is, a lot of the people who are living outside of these state, out of these blue cities, Andy, as I'm sure you know, they're the producers. You know, they're farmers, they're manufacturers and things like that. And so, I'd say they deserve some better representation. Do you think this would solve that kind of problem?
No, I think it would in many cases. I come from Kansas, where my flagship is here in Wichita, Kansas, and there are 105 counties in the state of Kansas, and our Democrat governor won the state by winning 7 counties the last 2 elections. 7 out of 105. The rest of them went red, but because of where these populated areas are, she ended up winning. To me, that's a perfect reflection of the fact that these dominated, mostly progressive blue cities are what's dominating popular votes in a state. When the state, I mean, we have, what, almost 3 million registered voters in Kansas, and they dominate the election, making small towns across the state pretty much irrelevant when they go out and vote. It's time for some representation at that level, I think.
Yeah, and that does reflect what the larger Republican idea versus the democracy. You know, a lot of people think that, and they say we're a democracy. Yeah, the John Birch Society, we've been trying to kind of help people understand that there is obviously democratic elements to our republic, but this is a perfect example. The election or the election, what the things, the way the elections happen is why republicanism is important. So we can get representation. So everyone can get representation, and we're not ruled by this. And they turn out to be kind of a mob, you know. I hope that is not too strong of a word. But as we know, the people in the blue cities, they think alike because they are very alike. But they don't necessarily their policies don't reflect the views and the concerns of everyone outside. And as I mentioned, again, I've lived in metro areas. I grew up in Atlanta, and then I lived in rural Montana, and now I live somewhat in rural Wisconsin, where we too are kind of we have this struggle between the blue cities and the rest of Wisconsin. And I don't think it's fair that we have to be kind of guided, or we have to follow along, taken by the nose by the blue cities who don't produce. They don't necessarily produce. Everything that goes into these places comes from outside of the cities. I keep pointing to that because I've seen both sides of the coin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw this division prior to the Civil War, which is one of the reasons that led to the Civil War, where we had the industrial North and we had the agricultural South. There was a less population in the South. They weren't getting legislation done that benefited them. The North was passing legislation that was essentially punishing the South with taxes on cotton and taxes on firearms and so on and so forth, where they finally had enough. And obviously slavery, for those that are upset, slavery was part of that conversation as well. But there were other political and regulatory reasons why the South wanted to start their own nation, because they did not feel that they were properly represented at the federal level. And that is an argument on, like you said, democracy, where democracy, it really is. It is mob-like mentality. If the 51% can vote to tax the 48% or 49%, they have the opportunity to do that. And the 49% has no protection or representation from there. So we are a constitutional republic. And I think that needs to trickle down now with how populations have grown in individual states. That representation and protection needs to trickle down at a statewide level.
Well, I think I'm with you, Andy. You know, I got to be honest. I haven't considered this necessarily on the state level. This is something that we have focused as far as on the national level, because we know, I think, as you just mentioned, too, that there is an effort to try to go to this majority vote to do away with the Electoral College. And that way they'll have ultimate power because it's easier. It's easier to brainwash, to propagate, to grow people, to believe a certain way, or as I've been learning, especially a lot, it's the cities where they're able to rig the elections. I've done a lot of reporting on that, and I've talked to a lot of people who've been, over the years, especially since 2020, they've been investigating this hardcore. And one thing that continues to pop up over and over is that it's the cities where they implement the chicanery and the skullduggery that is able to siphon and to rig election.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're starting a movement right here. So let's make this happen. We'll start a statewide electoral college process moving forward. Let's talk about Wisconsin for a minute, because now we're moving into general election cycle. And obviously, we're going to see what looks like, at least right now, a repeat of 2020 with the same candidates, which means we're concerned about, like you said, some of the rigging of elections and drop boxes and mail-in voting and electronic ballots that may or may not be corrupt or some type of issue, and voter registration. And the list goes on of how we try to certify these elections. Wisconsin's been working hard, among other states, but Wisconsin's been working hard to try and clean up some of these issues. But what's the latest coming out of the state?
Well, the latest is on Tuesday, the two amendments were added to the Constitution. This is something that the Republicans have been trying to get for the last couple of years. But now that they got it passed through the legislature the second time, it got past the governor's veto. The first time, it didn't get passed, but it needs to go twice. I just talked to a legislator today. So essentially, a resolution, if it gets to the governor's desk a second time here in Wisconsin, he can't veto it. So what happened on Tuesday is the voters of Wisconsin have chosen to do away with two things, and that is private money and private individuals involved in elections. Yeah. So in 2020, Wisconsin had an infusion, and I know it's not the only state, of what's called, the slang for it is Zuckerbucks. And as you're most likely aware, and your listeners probably are, Mark Zuckerberg, I'm not sure if it was through some of his foundations or something like that, he put a lot of money in 2020 to supposedly help elections happen because, you know, COVID was happening. And supposedly one of the reasons they cited was that so they can buy PP, I guess, protective protection or protective gear for poll workers and stuff like that. But apparently only like 3% went into that. But what really happened, and I spoke to former Wisconsin Justice Michael Gableman, who actually investigated after 2020. He was hired by the legislature to investigate the election here. And the investigation was cut short after the legislature, and especially the rhinos in here, realized that he wasn't going to actually rubber stamp the thing as good. And that's what he wanted to look into things, and he wanted to say, okay, everything was copacetic, there's transparency, and it just, you guys just don't like the outcome.
Yeah, I tell you what, Paul,
to break, Andy?
Hold that thought, Paul. We got to take a break here real quick. When we come back, I want to continue that thought. It's Paul Dragoo with The New American, thenewamerican.com. We'll talk about what's going on in Wisconsin and the Zuck Bucks and private funding of elections coming up. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. Reason, common sense, rationale, your political therapist therifying you on a daily basis. So that way you don't throw something through your window whenever you hear the latest headlines. Ha ha! That's what we tried to do on the show. By the way, speaking of the Zuck Bucks, we were talking about elections, the private funding of elections, and how that may be influencing some things. Wisconsin trying to remove those. Speaking of Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook or Meta, earlier this week, if you remember, I made the big announcement of our new partnership with Patriot Mobile. Great partnership with the only Christian conservative wireless provider in the entire nation. You can find them online at patriotmobile.com/reason, and you can find our promo code there. I made the announcement on the radio. I then made the announcement on our social media, and on Facebook, I did a little boost, you know, spent $10 to do it, to boost it out and, you know, let people see what's going on and say thank you to Patriot Mobile for their new partnership here on the show. I got an email yesterday after they said that they were reviewing my proposed boost and spending money with their business to promote something on their platform that said, "Hi, Voice of Reason, our monitoring has revealed that activities connected to your account are in breach of our community standards, especially the endorsement of ideologies we do not permit." Now, again, remember, this is nothing more than a post that I boosted saying thank you to Patriot Mobile for partnering with us on the radio show, and check them out at patriotmobile.com/reason. That's all I did. That they don't like the endorsement of ideologies that we do not permit. We ensure our community remains safe and positive, and we find it necessary to permanently remove your account. So therefore, apparently that boost is no longer, and I'm not allowed to boost any posts or advertise on their platform any longer for supporting a Christian conservative wireless provider. That's kind of fascinating to me. We're talking with Paul Dragoo. He's with The New American, thenewamerican.com. Paul, fascinating how Mark Zuckerberg, who's funding elections in some states, won't allow certain content to be promoted on their platform. I find that ironic.
Well, I've had those repeated experiences personally and as a business. It's we have here at The New American, we have those problems. We're completely throttled. I don't know if I told you the story, but in 2020, we were one of the many organizations that were extremely restricted. We got like a little notice too. And we were like, you know, because you don't follow our community standards, kind of the same thing they told you, you know, we're going to restrict you. And they told us right there. And so we went from having like reaching millions a month to like tens of thousands. And we are still in that. That's where we are. And not too long ago, that YouTube completely shut down our channel too. I mean, unfortunately, this is the world we live in, Andy, and I'm sure that you know this is the way it is. These guys want to control the avenues, the communications avenues, because they're threatened. They're threatened by our ideas, and they're trying to build an America and a world that is contrary to anything we want. So they want to put out some sort of perception to people who are still fooled that this is, you know, how people think and how they believe. It's called propaganda, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, it really
is. They're doing their part in the propaganda war.
It really is. It's complete propaganda. Paul, we got just about a minute left here before we wrap up, and I could talk to you for hours about this because there's so much more to get to. But I have to ask you the final question is, do you believe going into 2024 that the elections are at least more secure than what they were in 2020 with this matchup between Biden and Trump?
I've heard some things, and I think there are, but they were so bad in 2020. Andy, what concerns me is, will it be enough? You know, here in Wisconsin, we might end up back with drop boxes if it gets back to the Supreme Court or it gets to the court system. So we're worried about that. You know, like I told you about recently, was that, you know, now we passed this banning private funds, and that's not coming back. But we still are in danger of getting drop boxes back, ballot boxes back, and things like that. So it seems like they are better. People are more aware. They're going to watch the drop boxes and things like that. But it doesn't, from everyone I talk to, no one is saying, man, we got this. We got it secure. So people need to be vigilant. We got to figure out a way to pull it out. It's going to be a squeaker if we pull it out. It's not going to reflect truth, but we just need to pull it out. We need to win so then we can build back, and this time patriotically build back true for Americans.
I agree. Like you said, it's going to be a squeaker, which is why right now all eyes are on a single Electoral College vote in the state of Nebraska as a potential swing state that could make or break this election for one side or the other. Democrats already admitting, according to some in the White House, that they're already almost conceding in some of these swing states, Wisconsin being one of them as well, because of what's going on. So this is going to be an interesting election for sure, and we're going to have to make sure everybody turns out the best that we possibly can. Paul, it's so good to talk to you, my friend. Keep up this fight. Let's get you back on and do it again real soon.
Well, dude, thank you for having me, Andy. Have a good one.
You as well. Always a pleasure there. We'll do it again until tomorrow for a Friday, wrapping up the weekend. You set for another great weekend. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. This is the Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.